What does it take to build the perfect plot? I'm Bill Bloom, author of Tales of a 10th Grade Vampire Hunter, and this past October at the annual James River Writers Conference, I had the pleasure of moderating a panel on plot construction with the steampunk husband and wife writing team Supreme, Philippa Ballantyne and T. Morris. If you weren't there, well, you missed out. But not only am I going to bring you a few clips from that conversation today, but James River Writers is giving you two opportunities to learn the tricks of the literary trade from Pip and T. On March 27th, I'll get to sit down and talk with them again at the monthly writing show at the Camel here in Richmond, and I'll also be teaching a master class the next day on how writers can best use social media to connect with readers. Just go to jamesriverwriters.org to register for both events while there are still slots open. Right now, here's some of my conversation on plot construction with Pip and T from this past October's conference.
All right, speaking of plot, yes, we are talking plot mechanics, how to get from point A to point Z and have it make sense and entertain all the way through. We are going to go gentlemanly and start ladies first with Pip. And yes, we know y'all write together, but let's start individually. Let me talk about your individual approaches. For you, when you are looking at the plot for your book, how do you approach that? I mean, how much do you know of your plot going into it, and what do you feel like you need to know to write a book by yourself?
I'll start with the last question first. I need to know the character. I need to enjoy the character. I need to want to spend a lot of time with that character. So to me, the world usually is fairly nebulous. Like with Geist, I started off, so what happens if the supernatural was actually real and everybody knew it and the supernatural was actually a threat? So, but think the ghost hunters, instead of actually like going, "Ooh, what was that?" and hearing a creaky board, it was like, "Oh my gosh, did you see that? I filmed it." Yes. So that was my thing. And then I was like, okay, so who would inhabit that world? What sort of people would protect you against that? That's my way into the world, is through the character. And then I also have, when I start off, I know the last scene that I'm going to have. And when I was first writing, I was freaked out that I wasn't a plotter, that I met all these people and they were like, "You've got to have note cards and you've got to know where you're going all the way." And I couldn't do that.
How important is it knowing what that destination is, knowing the end as you're building that plot from the beginning?
It is really important, because the whole structure of the book follows. I mean, when I say I know the end, I know vaguely what it's going to be. It can alter a little bit, but I know the final scene. I know that there's going to be some climactic point that I'm going to get to.
T, let me ask you, how does it differ for you, or is it pretty much the same process when you're writing by yourself?
I tried desperately, desperately to outline. And I tried it for a mystery, because you're supposed to know who done it at the beginning of a mystery when you're the writer. I tried so hard, and the characters were like, "No, you moron, that's not who committed the murder. The woman that you introduced at the very beginning, she's the one who committed the murder. Yes, I know you're using the outline, but this is going to bug you." I found out that the discovery for the reader was mirroring my own discovery. And I think that, I'm the first one to say I'm a character-driven writer. I'm proud to be a character-driven writer, yes.
I can see how for an individual, doing it by the seat of your pants can work. But when you're writing together, how do you stay on the same page? How do you make sure that you both really do see the same destination and you're not having the argument halfway down the road of you need to pull over and get directions?
Well,
yeah.
We do a lot of brainstorming. And that's the really nice thing about working with somebody else.
Yeah,
Shut
it is. Some of the wacky stuff that comes out of our mouths.
Yeah. Sometimes we just sit around and talk about it and brainstorm it out. And sometimes it's like, "Oh, yeah," and then that fires off other ideas.
And we start speaking in character and it gets just really weird.
Other times somebody comes up with something and we're like, no, don't think that's going to work.
The brainstorming starts first. And like Pip said, we do have an idea of where we're headed. But we also know that we have to stay open-minded, because inspiration can just backhand us at any minute. And it's I mean, I've talked to other authors who basically have it all mapped out before they even start on page one, and I find that a little dry, a little stale. I think if you have a vague idea and get started, you can figure out pretty soon how to get to where you want to go at the end. But if you're open-minded, that opens the field for a lot of fun play. And
we do plot a little bit. We're in one chapter. We're like, okay, what are we doing in the next few chapters?
Right.
What are they going to be?
How long are they going to be in this particular point?
Well, let me ask you this then. So what do you do to make sure you're getting, how do you find the elements to throw in there to make the plot move? What is it you need to make a plot move?
The conflict?
Yeah.
Well, with the steampunk events, we have villains. Lots of villains. But we also have, between Eliza and Wellington, there's always a little bit of conflict. And that moves the story along as well. And T's like, I've got a great idea how Eliza can get Wellington to talk about his feelings. It involves a bomb. Okay, here it goes.
There really is something rewarding about writing a scene where, the bomb is counting down. There's 2 minutes left on the clock, and Wellington goes, "Have you disarmed the bomb?" And then you have Eliza go, "Not yet. I want to talk about her feelings." Now? Want to talk about feelings now? Yes, and I think this is the best time to do it. In fact, you have a minute and a half to do it. And we do. We try to crack each other up. It becomes sort of a one-upman game.
So would it be fair to say, from what y'all are saying, really a lot of the obstacles you might run into within your plot, really the answer is not so much in the plot itself. It seems like it's more in the characters themselves.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. In the Janus affair, you see people disappearing in these wild electric displays. And the biggest problem we had was distance. How far could you be transported safely? And then we had to look at what was in that radius and make it realistic. Because there is a point, we're dealing with steampunk, we're dealing with science fiction, we're dealing with the fantastic and the usual and the unexplained, but you can push it too far.
All right, so let's talk about roadblocks. When the plot just, you're plugging along, everything's moving just fine. We've talked about research mode. What other tools do you pull out when that plot just grinds to a freaking halt and you're like, where the heck does this go next?
Usually when a block happens, it means, for me, it means I'm trying too hard. I don't believe in writer's block. I believe in exhaustion. Eventually, if you don't take... There are little bits of advice I'm always giving new authors, and the one bit of advice that I try to give to authors over and over and over again is take care of yourselves. Because if you are constantly tethered to your, to your laptop, if you are not getting out and experiencing the world, if you are not just giving yourself a break, right? Absolutely. And usually, if I get a roadblock of any sort. It's I'm just trying too hard, and I just need a break. She tells me I need a break. Sometimes I'll listen to her. but most of the time, she's right. So
I find if there's a writer's block where the story is just like dragging, I look at it and see if there's something wrong with it. Sometimes you know subconsciously that you're coming at it from the wrong character's point of view, maybe the scene isn't even necessary. So I sometimes like plot down, just like maybe put down half a dozen sentences about what I think should happen in that chapter, and then I write around it. I go on to the next scene and write that scene, and then sometimes that helps me when I go back, and because you don't have to write in a linear fashion all the time. And sometimes when I've gone back to it from a previous scene, that it starts to make more sense. And if it doesn't, then I feel like there's something wrong in that scene and try and dissect it a little bit.
I hope you've enjoyed this sampling from my panel on plot construction with Philippa Ballantyne and T. Morris. I had a great time with them at the conference, which was why I couldn't say no when asked to interview them again for James for Writers at the March 27th Writing Show, which will be at the Camel at 6:30 p.m. in Richmond. Don't forget to register for that, or for the March 28th Masterclass, where Pip and T will show writers how to put social media to work to promote their stories. To become a member of James River Writers and connect with other writers online and throughout Central Virginia, visit jamesriverwriters.org. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you at both of these events later this month.